Thank you, Mary, for testifying to what the Lord has done. And I think Barb has a testimony that she told me last week or the week before or something, that she had like an awakening and a revelation. And she said, I should have said something, but I don't like to talk to people. I'm the wrong person to tell that. I forget a lot of things, but I won't forget that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Funny thing, actually, I am kind of that way. I don't talk much except when I'm here. I guess maybe I get it all out of my system here, but I don't know. But I want to talk to you today about sprouts. Yeah. Last night, I went, as I was going to sleep, I heard words and the tune with it, You Are My Everything. And I thought, okay, what song do I know that has that? I thought of it this morning. You are my everything, mighty God. Actually, that's not even what came to my mind last night, come to think of it. What came to my mind last night was think, my whole life is yours. Now, I don't know if God was reminding me what I told him 37 years ago, or whether he was just renewing my memory of what has gone on in 37 years, because a long, long time ago, when I didn't know what I was saying, I said, my whole life is yours. And God took it seriously. He took me up on it. He took me up on something that he knew long before that. So, usually what happens is that when I go to the jail, they get the beginnings of what we had here. And then we go wherever it goes with each pod. It's always amazing to listen to each pod, to find out how God works within each pod. Well, this week I switched jail from Tuesday to Friday so that we could go and winterize the camper. And we winterized the camper, and it was wonderful. And they let me in on Friday. When I got there on Friday, they said, you're going to have to wait. We've got court. Nobody emailed me to say there was court, but that's okay, you know. I went and got the things done that I needed to get done and came back, and sure enough, they let me in. Pastor's here. Is it okay for him to go? I don't go going, better let me in, you know. I'm kind of just waiting around. But they wanted to make sure I got in. Anyway, so I'm sharing with the pods, and I get this picture in my mind of the birds and the seeds that fall by the wayside. And I explained to them that I may be taking it out of context, but this is the picture that I have. And the picture came as we were worshiping. As I've told you, in jail, we've been just very simply, we begin and end each pod with, oh, Lord, I need you so. Now, when I first started that with them, they were like a junior high choir, you know. Nobody wants to sing. I would give the girl pods a hard time and say, come on, girls. The girls will always sing. It's the boys that won't sing. But the boys caught it before the girls did. So then I could come to the girls and say, girls, I got to tell you something. The boys are out singing you. These guys are getting into it. But you see, when it was beginning, you know, it's like anywhere, you know. You say, oh, Lord. And they're looking at each other. Because I'm saying, come on. I said, this is a three-word chorus. It's two words and then three, so it's going to end up being five. It's a tough one, but you can do this. You know? And so we start with, oh, Lord, and then I need you so. And they're looking at each other to see if anybody's going to sing. And then somebody decides to sing. Now, I think that maybe the truth be told, the first person that decided to sing just said, okay, I'll let it out. But then somebody else started, and then somebody else started, and then somebody else started. And they just came in, and I started to see that the whole idea of worship was a seed for them. And for maybe a couple of chapels, for some of them, the seeds had just been picked up by the birds. But they found the seeds that the birds had stolen. They brought them in and they began to join in. And those seeds sprouted and grew up. They were stolen to begin with, but they aren't all gone. You know, sometimes we look at that parable and we look at it and we say, well, that's just gone. There's no hope for it. I don't believe that any seed is gone. It may seem like it's gone. We may think we don't see any fruit in it. But once we decide to go gather them, they're there. So as God got me thinking about that, I just started thinking about seeds that had been stolen in my life, but I remember times that I didn't see them as seeds, but now I see them as seeds. I see them as something that were opportunities that I never took advantage of, but there they were, and now I can look at them, and now I can take those things out and plant them. It's like I can tell anybody and everybody how when I was a little kid, God planted a seed for me to know Jesus when Jesus showed up in my room. I just didn't know it was that, so the devil stole that seed away. Instead, the boogeyman came. Wow, that's just really something. I'm just kidding. The boogeyman came. My brother, around that same time, my brother was babysitting, and I got up, and my brother said, you better stay in bed or the boogeyman will get you. And I got out of bed, and I stepped out into the living room, and as I stepped out in, well, I guess it would have been our dining room, I stepped out of our bedroom, and I turned to my left like I would go to the kitchen, and the boogeyman was there. I recognized the boogeyman. It scared me. I didn't get out of bed no more. But I didn't recognize Jesus. I didn't recognize that seed. If my dad would have come into the room and said, oh, Roger, that was Jesus in the room, I'd remember Jesus. And Jesus is greater than the boogeyman. But I was afraid of the dark for a long, 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 long time after that. Vicky has a testimony of something in her closet. The boogeyman came to her place a few years after me, apparently. But, you know, I mean, there's different seeds. There are seeds of good and there are seeds of evil that get sown into our lives. And the darkness hides the light until the light comes and dispels the darkness. And so there are seeds. There are seeds. There are things. And we have a choice what we're going to do with those seeds. So now, every time that they show up in the pods, the seed's becoming a plant. They wait. I can see them waiting. I'll maybe start out with some other worship. This week, in fact, is the first time I really tried that. I just started with some other worship, and they were just sitting there, and they were paying real close attention. And then I hit a chord, and I went, oh, Lord. And before I got to the end of oh, they were with me on Lord. Because now they come for the presence of God. And I tell them, you don't really come for the presence, you bring the presence. You're special to God. You matter to God. Every life matters to God. You see, they go through things, and I know it's true because when I mention it, you know, I said, you've had times where you just don't think you matter. Where people have told you, you don't matter. Or what you think doesn't matter. I sometimes say to Vicky, what do you want? And I say, it doesn't matter. Maybe I need to figure something else out for that. You know, what do you want to eat? It doesn't matter. really doesn't. Everything she cooks is good, so I don't. It doesn't really matter, you know. I don't need the pressure of deciding what the menu is. I got other things on my shoulders, you know. That's way more pressure. And we got Michael. He's always got something in mind. But when Jesus is telling them that, he said, this is like a farmer who goes out, and as he scatters the seed in his field, some seeds fall on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Now, earlier in the week, I'd had this thought about, you know what? When birds eat seeds, they plant them somewhere else. We have an overgrowth of wild grapes at our house. They're taking over everything. They haven't started on the house yet. But I mean, they're to the top of the trees. They're all over the bushes. And they're kind of pretty, but they aren't real good when you're trying to mow between the house and the trees and the vines get you. A few have been uprooted by that idea, you know. But it doesn't seem to bother them. They keep growing. There will be things that come and try to destroy what God has put in you and what's growing up in you, but you just keep growing through it. You've got to just keep gathering up. We've got to take the time. We've got to consider, you know, and that's what I started thinking about was, okay, what seeds have been stolen from us? Okay. A seed of healing when you're prayed over and the enemy comes and tries to steal the healing. Right? Isn't that so? You know? I had, when I had my foot prayed for and it got healed, after that, every now and then, that foot would try to hurt. And when that foot would try to hurt, I just start stomping. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me, you know? And it doesn't matter if it's 35 years later or 30 years, whenever it is. If that foot hurts, I'm reminded, no, that was healed. Mary decided that the medicine was hurting her more than it was helping her, but she was wise, or fear was put on her. Well, we better not do that. You know, we can just cut it back, but ultimately, she listened to the Spirit of God that told her, no, let's go with the first plan. And then the truth was revealed. But a seed was sown long before that. An idea, she didn't have an idea like that. She wasn't thinking about anything like that. That was a thought that came to her. Where did it come from? Every good and perfect gift comes from God. See, how many times do we have things that, you know, God speaks to us. They're seeds. Only we don't. Maybe they come not while we're praying and asking God for a word, but they come in the middle of nowhere. Like a seed dropped out of the air by a bird. And depending on how busy we are, depending on where our thought processes are, depending on whether we want to, because sometimes those things come when we don't really want to, we can be honest, you know, we just don't have. This morning, I got Mom up, I got her medicine, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to make sure that she gets enough liquid in her. I'm trying to, you know, she takes her pills real good, but then I don't think I need any more of that. And I push some pudding in her mouth, we don't need that. And she took a little more, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, Mom, I got to go, so we need to get this finished up. I can't just leave her there. I've got to move her. I can't move her fast. Time is telling me. But I figured I'd make it work and got her out to the chair, got her up, knew she'd live until maybe, you know, I don't have a handle on that, but you know, you get it there and I get in the truck and I say, oh Lord. We got problems, and I'm already thinking of things. I'm thinking like, okay, I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to have a choice. I'm going to be late, or else I'm going to just look the way I look. You know, But I forgot about that, and I ran downstairs, and I got going. And by the time the devotion's done, I'm going, either God stopped the clock, or boy, he was rambling today because it was just done. So you didn't get to be stuck with me the way that I was. And then I tried to do something the wrong way. You ever try to do something the wrong way and then finally do it the right way? First, I tried to grab the electric clippers to do, and the electric ones that I have, you got to shave about 4 times a day, and then they work real good. But who has time to shave 4 times a day? But I tried that. I said, no, I got to go ahead and go shave. So I ran in, and I ran into the other bathroom where I keep my best blade razor, and I just started trying to shave, dry shave. You know, usually it'll work, but not when it's this long. So then I throw some water on. And then I say, this is just stupid. I got out the lather, put it on, sped up the process like crazy. And I had this seed come from the Lord. Like, okay, you know, I wasted time doing it the wrong way 3 times. So I gathered the right way. No, come on, there's nothing spiritual about that. Well, that's how things work. How many times do we have the right way and we're doing it a different way, and then finally do we decide to just go ahead and do it the right way? We gather the seeds. We gather up those things. We gather up those little thoughts that, my goodness, it could have been God. I think it was God. See, we got to get used to it being God. We got to get used to God being involved in everything. And so any thought that we don't have that is not bad, then must come from God. It's worth a moment. See, so that's why, unless, you know, and then sometimes we have a new person come into the pod, not so much, oh, and by the way, we're masked up at the jail now because they have an active case. And so, you know, that, which makes no difference. That's just fine. But so I go in with my mask on, and we're just fine with that. But every now and then, and they haven't had a lot of new people come in because they've been keeping people kind of out. They've been trying to dwindle their numbers, you know. And so, anyway, but you get a new one, and you got a bunch of guys coming in, and they've already had the seed, and they come in, and they are ready, and so they're ready to jump in with Oh Lord. And so we go, Oh Lord, and they're all singing, and this new guy's going, he's looking at them. And sometimes they let the seed drop, and let the seed drop, and let the seed drop, and they never quite enter in, but they're considering. And because they're considering, then they're hearing. And when they hear, the word does its perfect work in them. And you see it grow up, and you see it become a plant. Where the enemy would try to tell us, that seed's gone. That word's gone. That's wasted. Oh, I learned so much at the jail. Because God lets me see things that are going on. And I don't realize, I'm starting to realize, that I didn't know that it was God letting me see things until now I've gathered that seed and I realize God's letting me see things. He's like, see, a bird's trying to get in. But you see, we have these things, and when we start to consider that, you see, it's not wasted, it's not to be regretted, it's not to be ashamed of, it's not to be condemned by, it's to be gathered in and have it come up. When I was a kid, my job was sprouting the potatoes. The potatoes would start to sprout in the bag. Roger, sprout the potatoes. I don't think David ever had to sprout the potatoes. You know, apparently they didn't have sprouts until 5 years later. And so you dump out the whole bag, you bust off the sprouts. Now the potatoes are going to be okay, they aren't going to get soft and mushy as much of a chance of it. And now we've protected the potatoes. But later, leave the sprouts on. We're going to cut them up and we're going to plant them. They're going to have a head start. Those sprouts have a head start. And so here's the deal, that we've got things from God. We've got things in our life before we knew God that were sprouting. But for a long time, we treated them like we didn't know the sprouts were there. See, unless you looked in the potato bag, you didn't know they were sprouting. And if they get away from you for too long, you'll know they're sprouting. They're beyond sprouting. They stink. Vicki will come up sometimes and say, oh, there was a stink in the basement and I found a rotten potato. Or you can do the same thing in orange. You can do the same thing with anything and everything, you know. But the thing is, there were things planted in our lives from the time we were children that we didn't know were seeds. We didn't know that they were the beginnings of something. But then we come to know the Lord, and all of a sudden we begin to recognize where those beginnings were. I was thinking as we were driving in the hills last week that we go by that road where the camp was, and I was thinking about all the kids that we took to camp, all the kids that this church sent to camp, all those seeds that were planted. And I thought about when I went to camp, my one time going to camp. I have many memories about going to camp. I have memories of the trip getting there. I remember I rode with Bowlers, and John Bowler was in the car, and we're going along. He says, oh, look, there's a cow. Now, why is that a big deal? I don't know if he didn't see cows or what, but we all laughed at that. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember getting to camp. I remember the crafts at the camp. I remember the little plastic things that you put over and you sewed through and made a deal, a little square thing about that big. I probably still have it somewhere at home. I remember that. I remember that we sang, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. I remember that. And I remember I got my first kiss at church camp. But there were a lot better seeds planted that I didn't know about. But they've grown up. And since I've seen seeds grow up, I've learned to search for them. You know, we search for a lot of things in our lives, don't we? Trying to find things that we can't find. Maybe wanting things that we can't have. We spend worrying about things that don't matter, but we spend a lot of time doing that. And yet, the enemy convinces us that we don't have time to search for those seeds. That we don't have time, because you see, when you see the places where these seeds have come and where they're ready to sprout, it gives you great encouragement. It gives you great joy to think that God was planting then. He loved me before I knew Him. Now, all my love is doing. That's why oftentimes we pray, and we pray for our children. We pray for the children of this church. We pray for the children that this church reached out. We pray for the seeds that have been sown, and we don't see the fruit that we would like to see off those seeds. We aren't even sure that they ever landed. We think that somebody was out crop spraying, you know, but God, they're still there because there were still seeds there. I mean, enough seeds that you are my everything. I go to bed and God reminds me of a song I wrote that I don't remember the words to. I can't put it back. The tune is there. I know it's there. I'm going, okay, is this somebody else's song? Why do I have this in my head? Is this a song that's going to come? But the Lord just reminded me that that was a seed that He put there that came out as words that He has taken me up on. So consider the seeds that seem to have gone by the wayside and that they've been plucked up, and just imagine that they're not lost. That God has not forgotten them. That they're sprouting, that they're ready to grow up. You know, a seed can be a promise, a seed can be a prayer, a seed can be something that you've forgotten about or that you've given up on or you've even spent time being disappointed about, and boom, here it comes. I'm often reminded of reed and seeds that were sown in reed, and from all outward appearances, there was nothing happening. But for some reason, I knew something had to be happening. Made Sue mad all the time that I would even suggest such a thing. And I have two fond memories. One was when the girls, they went out for a birthday lunch, and I went to sit with Reed, and we were sitting there. I just started chuckling. He said, "Well," I said, "this is your worst nightmare years ago." He said, "What's that?" "Stuck with me in a house with my Bible and praise music going." "Yeah," he said. And the other one was when Sue called me and asked me if I could go and help Reed because he'd fallen. And I went, and I wasn't going to take a chance on breaking him. So I covered him up and laid down on the floor next to him, and he started to pray for me. A seed had become a field of harvest. See, we just don't know. But we do know this, that God's faithful. And that he started sowing in us before we were formed in the womb. And yeah, we missed a lot of them. Here we are so many years into walking with the Lord, and we sweep some of them away like they're cobwebs. Last night I was sitting on the couch and I looked and I thought I was seeing things, and here came this little tiny spider. Put an end to that spider. That's what we need to do when the enemy comes to steal. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from. Now he's under my feet. He's under my feet. My victory's so sweet. I went to the enemy's camp. Every seed, everything that God ever wanted for me, everything God ever wanted from me, bring it in, Lord. Put it in the bin. I'll investigate that. Because it's not lost. It's not lost. The promises of God are not lost. They are not lost. And so we come to these understandings, not so we can go, "Oh, man," but so we can go, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor can the heart of man imagine what God has in store for those who love him and are called according to his purpose." The tiniest seed, a tiny seed of faith. If you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, you know, we've all got enough seeds that have been scattered and blown away to just sustain us for a life. But that, you know, but we have control. You see, Vicky gave me another picture. I got to quit pretty soon, but I just got to tell you this, okay? I got another picture, and that was, Vicky's a plant lady, okay? And she will say, "That plant needs a bigger pot." Now, the only thing that I get out of that is money. It's going to cost money. She says, "But honey, I always shop carefully." I say, "Yeah, okay." But she knows this, that it needs a bigger pot. And so she'll move it out of a little pot into a bigger pot and ultimately into a bigger pot. And then she'll break it into little pots, and she'll need more little pots to put all that big one into little pots. And it'll start the whole cycle over again. Those seeds, when I see those guys, and you guys have been through it, I was reminded of way back when we were in the West Wing, the Legion Room of the auditorium, and we had the old upright piano that was theirs, and we'd be going along, and I can remember time coming up off the bench saying, "How can you just sit there?" Maybe it was rude, but you know, it was like how can you not just enter into that? You know, it was a seed. And I look at these guys and I think, you know, here's the deal. We decide also, because we can combine the seeds with the soil, we decide what kind of soil we're going to let a seed sit in our life too. A seed comes in, we want to leave it on the wayside, and so we leave it on the wayside, and a bird comes and picks it up. But I think that we've all got carrier pigeons, birds that are picking them up, ready to drop them on us again, maybe, you know? Or maybe we let it in into some not too deep a soil and it comes up. We're going pretty good, you know, but then things get hot and they shrivel up and they die. And then some we move over into soil and things are really going, but man, there's a lot going on in life. But, I got it that close. And things of this world come up and choke us out. Fears of things come out and choke it out. And that seed, but it ain't dead. It's just dormant. Ultimately, we get them into the good soil, that place that we like. See, I look at somebody that's in the pod and they're looking at other people. And they're not sure they want to join in. And then they at least throw out the Lord and they start to feel just a little something because they're calling out to the Lord. But then somebody else gives them the eye like, whoa, you aren't going to join in with that, are you? And so it shrivels up and dies. And then all of a sudden they're coming and you got some. Every now and then I'll have somebody that's just been going great guns, growing in the worship, growing in the Lord, sharing things and stuff like that. And then they come into the pod with a new guy. And now the new guy is sent by the devil to try to distract them and keep them from it. And they jump right in with it. And it, boom, it just gets choked out. And I'm kind enough to go in with a little bit of weed killer and say, hey, what's going on? And it's like, oh, yeah. And they put the seed back into the good soil. Isn't that what happens to us sometimes? Sometimes we've left things sitting out, and then we start to move them in, and start to move them in, and start to move them in, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it's like, whoa, I got to get that in a new pot. I got to get that in a place that it can grow. And there's no sense in wasting time going, how come I left that out there so long? How come I didn't let it grow up before? How come I let it get choked out? Don't worry about that. Now you got it in the good place. See, there's a lot of places. Now you've got just a tiny seed. You can come up with lots of things and you can write to me and tell me about what the Lord is showing you about that. Right? Right? Can you see? Can you see? Am I just talking to myself here, or can you see things for yourself? Hallelujah. You know? It's like you got a sack of seeds. You're like that old song when I was a youngster that said, you know, the revenuers came and they took away all the marijuana plants and they said, we just sat in waves sitting on a sack of seeds. You know? Yeah, I know. I have funny things that come to my mind, but isn't that it? See? You know? I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. And now he's under my feet. My victory's so sweet because the enemy's under my feet. Lord, we just praise you today because there is a harvest coming from just a few seeds that are now being moved into that good ground. And we're just looking forward to it with great pleasure and great anticipation. In Jesus' name, amen.